Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast as we continue on in a message I began yesterday entitled Choosing Sides. And we are looking at events that occurred in the life of a good king of Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat. And I shared the first five verses of chapter 18, which I did lay a bit of a foundation that he was the son of Asa. And when he began to reign, he did that which was pleasing to the Lord. They emphasized the book of the law, of the Lord's precepts, and he had the priests ministering, and God, because they sought the God of their fathers, and they didn't. In fact, let me read verse 4. Well, let me go back to 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. And so God established the kingdom in his hand. He had wealth and riches in abundance. In fact, even the enemies of Judah, the Philistines and the Arabians, brought flocks and tribute silver and livestock to him. And he, in verse 12, it says he waxed exceedingly great, and he built cities of store. There was just such blessings of the Lord. And in chapter 18, it said, in verse 2, it says, after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. Now, he was the king of Israel, and it says in verse 1, he joined affinity with them. And so King Ahab made a great feast, and he asked him a question. He said, will you go with me in war to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat's response was, as he says, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And so he established an alliance with Jehoshaphat. And the point of this is not just understanding historical realities as it occurred in ancient Israel, but to understand that all of God's word is given for our instruction and benefit. And so the Lord just put on my heart that because of what we are seeing a lot of today, where there is compromise with the ways of the world, in fact, in a lot of nominal churches, you know, that nobody preaches about sin, nobody preaches about the reality of hell. You know, God is a good God, and He wouldn't send anyone to hell. Well, you know, actually, that's true. He will send the devils that sin to hell, but He doesn't send any man to hell. He lets them choose. If any human being created in the likeness of God goes to hell, it is because of their own choosing. They refused the salvation offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked in their own ways. And you might say, well, Sister Glass, there are a lot of people that haven't heard the gospel. Don't tell me God's going to send them to hell. Beloved, there are many questions that we have that may not be answered until we're with the Lord. But all we have to do is look at the character of God. He's not willing that any should perish. And we know for a fact today in countries where the gospel is not able to be preached, like in the Middle East, where death is the punishment if the gospel is being shared. especially in Muslim countries, that God is appearing in visions and dreams, and people are, even when the word isn't available, God is making himself known. And we know in the opening chapters of the book of Romans that the natural world itself is a demonstration of the glory and majesty of God. So man is without excuse, Paul says. But we cannot, in the interest of one truth, deny the whole counsel of God. Like, God is a good God. God is loving. Beloved, if you look at the attributes of God, because God is love in perfection, such as we, fallen man, cannot comprehend, even those of us who walk with the Lord, it's hard to understand how great the love of God is. But God will never sacrifice or compromise his loving, perfect nature with a lack of justice. In order for him to be truly loving, he must be just. As in order for him to be unchanging, which he is, he has to be faithful. He doesn't change. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. And so we have to understand that just as God is love, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We have to understand, we have to have spiritual understanding, and we must have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to really understand what is going on, because to the natural carnal mind of man, it sounds great. Well, let's just reach out to all faiths. Let's embrace them, and let's just become one. Beloved, you cannot become one unless you are agreeing around the very truths that God said will unite us. Jesus prayed in John, the 17th chapter, Father, they could be one as we are one. But there's no schizophrenia in the mind of God. There is perfect unity, perfect understanding, perfect truth. As for God, his ways are perfect. And so we have to understand and be very much aware in the hour in which we are living, not just to listen to the surface, oh, we just need to be loving, we need to embrace, we need to just, you know, we just embrace the sinner. Well, of course we embrace the sinner. God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And so we have to have that same attitude. We have to hate the things that God hates. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. And we cannot compromise the sin for the ultimate purpose, we think, of being loving and unified. And so this is what we see happening here in the life of Jehoshaphat. He is joining affinity with a wicked king. Well, they were all brothers. They're basically Jews. They have the same inheritance, the same genealogy, if you will. Well, you know, yeah, Israel, there was a divided kingdom, but Jehoshaphat was just reaching out to embrace his brother. He said, oh, of course I'll go with you. Well, you know, my people will be as your people. We'll be one. But because he was a godly king, he said, let's hear what God has to say on this. Is there a prophet? And so the king of Israel, he gathers up his 400 men. He asks in verse 5, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I forbear? In other words, not go. And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hands. Now, what we see today is that, you know, the enemy will try to tell a weak or unenlightened Christian, well, you know, everybody's doing this and everybody else is in one accord, so surely it has to be of God. You know, it's of God, beloved, when God says it's right, and if you do what God says is right. All 400 of these prophets, they got up and they were prophesying the same thing. They were in absolute unity. It doesn't say that they called a fast. They didn't wait on God. They didn't call for the high priest to come. They didn't spend hours on their knees waiting before God. It just says they went up and started prophesying, and they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the Lord. Well, Jehoshaphat still had a little spiritual discernment, because in verse 7, he says, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? And, you know, as I was contemplating and meditating on this, obviously, if you read between the lines, you get the inference, the feeling that Jehoshaphat didn't quite feel so sure about what these prophets were prophesying, even though they were all saying the same thing, all 400 of them. There must have been a little bit of a question mark in his mind, because he said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here? Don't you have one more?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one, but I don't want to talk about him. There is yet one, but I just assume we didn't mention him." And so let me read verse 7. "The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah the son of Imla." And Jehoshaphat said, "Oh, let not the king say so." And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, go get him, fetch him. And so verse 9, "The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes," their regal garments. "They sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets prophesied before them. And while they were waiting for Micaiah," it says, "Zedekiah made horns of iron." He says, "With these thou shalt put Syria until they be consumed. And the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him and saying, Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent." They were all in one accord. "Let thy word therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good." Now, apparently, we can see things coming to a head, but I'm watching the clock and my time is drawing to a close. So we will pick up here tomorrow and we'll see how the storyline develops and what God thinks about this entire proceeding. And I invite you to tune in at the same time. We're heard on the station every day, Monday through Friday. And should at any point you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear one, please go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But in the closing moments, as I always do, this is a ministry of prayer and correspondence since 1965, when the Lord raised up this ministry through my late husband, Neil Glass. And so I invite you to write whatever those needs are. I will personally pray for you and intercede in your behalf before the throne of grace. And whatever God sends, I know He's anointed for decades. People are blessed by the word that they received, a timely word, a word in season. So if the Holy Spirit's moving upon you, I invite you to write, jot down that contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.